I thought at least Kenny would move a little with dynamite on, you know. Come on, I got nothing. Good morning, Megan Grider. Stand up. Stand up. Come on, we love you. Hug me, hug me, hug me, girl. All right, you are not all going to hug her later. I just did it for you, all right? Oh, good to see you, my sister. 101.1 million views in the first 24 hours Dynamite got, so I thought we'd play it just for Madeline because she's leaving for Arizona tonight or tomorrow. So, yeah, she's going to be gone and come back a nurse and very marriageable material. She is single and she is dying right now, but it's okay. She'll survive. But most of our kids, our college students, are gone now this week. They're all taken off, and it's sad but wonderful at the same time. Well, today's theme, who we are, or I could have titled it, who we can be. A pretty heavy day today. I just want to prepare you for that. Some special stuff coming out. At least I hope it ends up special when we talk about it, from my standpoint. A passenger tapped his hand on the cab driver's shoulder to tell him something, and the driver screamed and lost control of the car, almost hit a bus, went up the sidewalk, and stopped a few feet away from a gal. Just terrifying. For a second, everything was still in the cab. The cab driver said to the man, "Don't ever do that again, ever. You scared the heck out of me." The passenger apologized and said, "I didn't know just tapping you on the shoulder would affect you so much." The driver replied, I'm sorry, it's not your fault. Today's my first day as a cab driver, and I've been driving a hearse for the last 28 years. You just got it? Oh, my. It's good to be together. Oh, my. A patient visits a doctor, and the doctor asks him, "How old are your kids? How old are they?" A man said, "Well, 48 and 37 from my first wife, and 16 and 13 from my second wife." The doctor says, "Well, that's quite an age difference." The old man replies, "Well, the older ones haven't given me grandkids, so I made my own." Life just doesn't always go the way we want, right? Right. Let's pray as we move through our service. Lord, thank you that we can be here, that we can be together, that we can attempt to listen to you, to be guided by you, to be touched by you with your love on the inside of us. And I just pray as we talk about this topic today that you'd take us to a cool place in our brains, in our thinking, about what could be for each of us. And that you would just hold our hand as we live this life that's set out before us. So Jesus, we welcome you into this room. We're eager to listen to you. We want to love you in every way that we possibly can and connect with you in every way that we can. So make that so, we pray. We love you, and we love you. We pray this in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, today, again, is about who we are, or who we can be. This will be the last message of this series, and we're moving to Revelation next week, which is very exciting. So I want to go out with a bit of a bang here. I mean, I'm not going out. The series is going out. And I'm going to be a little philosophical with you today, so I just want to prepare you a little different than at other times. But I think you'll enjoy it. I think you may have a new, fresh realization of why we're here, maybe, in a small way that would be very cool. You may have to work a little harder than normal today, and you'll see what I mean as we work through things. But you ready? Yeah. Well, let's go. So I want to challenge your thinking. That's what I'm doing today. I'm challenging your brain. I really want it to every one of you. This is my passion today about how you live versus how God wants you to live. Okay, we all live a certain way, and we're all looking for how is it that God wants me to live? What does he want? What's his will? Are you going to throw that up there, Joe? Or should I say Paul? You're a little bit bigger than Kendall. Hey, not yet, dude. I'm not there, man. How you live versus how God wants you to live. About freedom versus bondage, at least emotionally. Now, bondage can come in many different sizes. And we can be emotionally in bondage to something that we try to shake and we try to get off, but it just sticks with us. And we try to shake it off. I mean, this is the world of CR. That's what it's here for, to help us when we feel entrapped. And yes, sometimes out of control with certain things, and we can't stop what we want to stop, what we feel is right. I want you to think about what could be what versus what is. What is reality in your life? When it comes to God and His thinking and His encouragement and what He brings forth in the truth and just through encouragement that you get along the ways. And secondly, about truth versus half-truth or non-truths. And you've got to search your heart. I mean, I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know what struggles you have and what strengths you have. I don't know. It's not about that. But I just want you to think. I want you to leave here going, huh, wow, okay. So point one today is, number one there in your notes, we can live outside the system. And this is what I'm presenting to you today. I believe that you, if you choose, can live outside the system. You're going to hear a lot of today of OTS, which is, we just made it up, but outside the system. It's ours. You can own it if you want. Make a patent on it. I'm kidding. You guys are tight. Relax. We're going to have fun. And I suggest to you today that we can have more of Jesus in our life, more, that we can have more peace and joy in our life, higher levels, and that we can have more freedom and confidence if we understand OTS and we embrace it in our minds. As Jesus followers, we can be different than the world, and you know it, especially if you care deeply about the words of Jesus and you try to regularly incorporate them into your life and honor Him and love Him back for all He's done for us and be good folks for Him, representing Him to the best of our ability. We know that we answer to a higher call than just the normal people that aren't interested in church or stuff about the Lord. And we know if we're Jesus followers, we live different than the world. And we face it all the time. And I don't go around telling people how to live. I guess today with the microphone I kind of am. But when I go through the mall or I go to the grocery store, I'm not looking for somebody to, hey, I'm a pastor. You need to listen to me. I had to try that. You want to be at Vaughn's this afternoon about 2:30? I'm not doing that. And if you do that, don't tell them you go to Bay Cities. Don't tell them. So what is the system? What am I talking about when I talk about the system? All right? Three things. There's more, but we've got three for today. Defining what we're calling the system. Number one, the system is this world as we know it. This world as we know it. The New Testament talks a lot about this world. You're going to see that in a moment. Its power, its influence in our lives, its capacity, its downside. It's a beautiful place. We live, those of us that have the privilege of being in the South Bay, live in a gorgeous place. Weather-wise, generally, it's not quite so muggy, but here we are. It's not 100, though. My daughter, you know, Tracy, she moved to Texas like after summer last year, kind of in October, I think it was, if I recall. And it was kind of nice, a little chilly some days, and then May came. She said, "Dad, it's pretty hot here, and it's May." And I'm thinking, oh, I got to pray for her. Although this world, as we know it, was created by God, it's pretty clear it's a fallen world. It's not perfect in the way He created it. as humans are. We're fallen people. Ever since Adam violated God's command, everything changed. Everything. And I'm not blaming him, but it started with him. And we live with his reality today. So I want to highlight some verses. I want to sell you on this thing called the world in a system. And we're just going to kind of rip through them. Joe is going to throw them up. John 8:23, Jesus is having a dispute with the Pharisees over who he was. They were battling with him as they often do. And he said, but he continued, you are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. He's speaking to the Pharisees, the religious leaders. If you ever wonder why he got killed, here you go. I am not of this world. Verse 24, I told you that you would die in your sins if you do not believe that I am he, the Messiah. Very direct here. You will indeed die in your sins. I don't lead with this when I'm building a relationship with somebody. But I want you to see this world. John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you'll have trouble. Jesus is tremendously honest. This world brings trouble. And you know it. You've experienced it. But take heart, I have overcome the world. I'm bigger than this world. I'm more powerful than this world. I can care for you in this troubled world. John 18:36, Jesus is being questioned by Pilate after his arrest. And he says, my kingdom is not of this world. Check that out. My kingdom, the kingdom we most of us are attached to through our faith. We're kingdom people because we've believed in Jesus. And he says, my kingdom's not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. They'd take you out. And by the way, I got some angels that could assist. That's just my words, not Jesus. He's too nice. But now my kingdom is from another place, outside the system. It's not part of the system. We live in this world. We function in this world. It's kind of all we know apart from truth. But no, it's a system. Paul tells us in Colossians 2:20, he says, since you died with Christ, what does that mean? Well, you've believed and you've trusted Jesus. Thus, we've gained eternal life because of him. We've died with him. It's like we jumped into the tomb with him. We're going to be resurrected like he was. Since you died with Christ to the elemental spiritual forces of this world, we're talking about this world. Why, as though you still belong to this world, do you submit to its rules? Why do you muck it up in this world? Why? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These rules which have to do with things that are all destined to perish with use. It just doesn't matter. So much of the things that take place on planet Earth just don't matter. And we need to see it for what it is. That's the challenge of today. That's what I want you to think about. And are based on merely human commands and teachings. People making stuff up, and the internet is the king of it, right? Verse 23, such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom. Check that out, an appearance of wisdom. It looks good. It sounds good. It might be right. May look good on the outside. With their self-imposed worship, their false humility, tough words. It's not real humility. And their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. The passions of life that can run off the track and mess up a life, a marriage, a family. And it happens all the time. The world and its so-called wisdom can never accomplish what God's wisdom can, ever. And we need to see that for what it is. We need to learn that. We need to believe that. You want self-control? It's found in Jesus and nowhere else. Nobody or nothing else works if you want real self-control. It just won't. Last one for this, for the moment at least. 1 Corinthians 3:19, Paul tells us, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. It's just silly. Silly, silly, silly. As it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. You know, the world at large just doesn't want to hear about Jesus and what he offers and what he brings to the table and how he can change our life, how he can impact our forever. They don't have time for it. It's funny, I was leaving my apartment four doors from the beach this morning, my 575 square feet that we're living in, and I saw, and you know, I'm dressed like this, I got my little leather thing, my clipboard and a coffee, and I'm looking decent. I'm at the beach, remember? So I might even be dressed up, I don't know, and I'm walking to the car, and there's this mature two couples walking with chairs. They're going to come down. I think they're going to have coffee or something down the beach. And the guy looked at me, the man, one of the men, and he goes, good morning. I said, good morning. Hope you guys have a great day. And they're just sauntering down to the beach. There's nothing wrong with going to the beach on Sunday morning. I'm not picking on that. But probably, I'm just guessing, they just have no interest to be in a place like this. They just don't. It's just not there. And the beach is pretty. I mean, the sun's not up today, but seeing the world and its system for what it is can help us live out God's desires. Second, number two, the system that different religions require. Now, religion defined, you're going to throw it on the screen, a particular system of faith or worship. That's how a religion would be defined, or a personal set of institutionalized system of religious attitudes, beliefs, and practices. That maybe is a little bit more on point. But Jesus took on the religious leaders of the day, the guys that were supposed to be the God seekers and the givers of truth in the Old Testament, as I believe he would today, very directly. He would not attack the people in the church. He would chat and talk to the people leading the church. I think, and it might be dramatic. Humans tend to like and enjoy power. There's a certain prestige in it. There's a certain rush to it, I guess. And there's something about power. And we all know, because you got something somewhere. You got a lane that you live in, and it can be intoxicating. Jesus told us, he says, and we'll look at this more closely later if we have time. I don't know how far we're going to get today, so just relax if it's not very far. To worship God directly. He's very clear about this. That we have full access to God. You do, and you do, and I do. Alone. That we don't need anybody between us and God. The new covenant is here, and it's here to stay. It doesn't mean a church or leadership is necessarily bad unless it leads you the wrong way. We have full access. We don't need anybody between us. Whatever requirement that religion puts on you is not from Jesus. It's just not. Jesus is our Savior. He's our brother. He's our friend. And we're joint heirs with him. That just says enough. Just define those terms. What does that mean? That's close. That's everything. So many religions, and we'll throw them on the screen, and we're not going to talk about this, but the big five are Buddhism, Hinduism, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Those are the big five. There's really a big 12, but it's a bunch of really get stranger and stranger stuff. We don't need to focus on that today. We don't have time. All of them have differing rituals and demands that they make of their people. Even Christianity often becomes legalistic. I've told you over and over again that for the first 30 years of my Christian life, being a pastor, I believe I was a Pharisee. Now, I was a good Pharisee. I wasn't a bad one. But I was still a Pharisee because that's what I believe I was taught. I was taught to teach the scripture. And that's not bad. But I was taught not to love my Jesus. Nobody brought that to the table. Nobody put that, the cookies on the bottom level where you could reach them. And I, you know, again, I was a nice Pharisee. I was a nice Bible teacher. I did what I was taught. But there was a transition. And I think a lot of people need to go through that. When the focus on Jesus becomes less and the focus becomes more on doctrine and rules, my skin crawls. Now, there's nothing wrong with doctrine. There's nothing wrong with right standards and right behavior at all. Man tends to find it easier to submit to rules than to God himself. You submit yourself to God and watch what happens. Do you know why Beethoven got rid of his chickens? All they could say was Bach, 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 Bach. What do you need to get rid of? Bach, was that too much? Was that too much of a dad joke? That's a grandpa joke. Well, I am a grandpa. Deal with it. I got another one coming at you next week. Bach, 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 Bach. We have chickens, so I got the right to say that. All right. So the system is this world as we know it. Number two, the system that different religions require. Number three, the system governments impose on people. Governments impose on people. This is really just another word of defining the world as we know it. But on the screen, I'm going to throw up the five most common governmental systems, and it includes democracy, a system of government by the whole population or all the eligible members of a state, typically through elected representatives, a republic, which actually we are, a government having a chief of state who is not a monarch and who, in modern times, is usually a president. And we have that. Monarchy is a state or country having a king or queen, and we understand that from across the pond. Communism. A political and, this is a nice way, version of the definition. A political and economic system that seeks to create a classless society in which the major means of production, such as mines and factories, are owned and controlled by the public and the leadership. And we all understand, I think, in this room, what communism is and what it does. Dictatorship, a form of government in which absolute power is concentrated in a dictator or a small clique of people. Now, no matter where you live, and we live in a free country, and that's wonderful, and I hope it remains that way, no matter what system you live under, we can live outside the system as Jesus followers because of him. Who he is and what he's done for us and in us. Now, it may be miserable. It may be abusive. It may be inhumane at times. But we belong to a different world. And when you understand that you can live outside the system, whatever it is, you get to live differently. You have freedom. A lot of people that live up and down your street don't have. Not just because they don't know Jesus. A lot of people that know Jesus are living in the system. They're functioning in it. They're enthralled by it. We've got God right here, right now. Right here, right now. Jesus is with us no matter what. And that makes everything different. And when you deeply understand that, no matter what transpires in your life, it may be awful and ugly and torturous, but you can live through it. You can live through it. So big point number two, how can we live outside the system in this life, OTS? How do we do it? How do we do it? Thank you for asking me that question today. I appreciate it. Number one, where it all starts, living OTS, where it all starts. Living outside the system starts with Jesus, always has, always will. This happened to Peter in Matthew 4:18. This passage, as you know, as Jesus was walking, notice he wasn't running. Jesus never seemed to be in a hurry. Remember, John and Peter ran to the tomb with excitement because of what they heard, and John was skinnier and faster, and he beat him, show off. But another story, it doesn't even matter, but he's beside the Sea of Galilee, walking along the shore, pretty normal stuff, just like Sandy and I walk, She does a lot more than me at 5:45 in the morning, but every once in a while I join her. And it's getting darker, so she shared with me that she wants me to go with her more. And I go, thank you, thank you. But they were walking by the seashore. He saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew, two working guys, normal dudes, fishermen. They were casting a net into the lake. You see it on the screen. They were hard at work, just like good men do, for they were fishermen, their vocation. Jesus says in verse 19, come follow me. And these words changed their life. Now, I'm going to be curious when I get to heaven, when I chat with Jesus. I'm going to be curious about how many people did you ask to follow you? And they said, busy. I'm out. Not available. Come follow me, Jesus said. And this will be the result. He shared with them. He was open. He said, and I'll make you fishers of men. You'll fish for a different catch. No longer fish, but men. They really didn't know what that meant. They maybe heard about this dude that was healing people. I don't know. This is pretty early on. But he tells them what's in the future. Interesting. And verse 20, I love my favorite two words in this story, at once. This is big. This is weird. This is rare. They didn't hesitate. They didn't wait. They didn't ponder, hold back, waver, make excuses, none of that. Boom, bam, done. We're going. I didn't like fishing anyway. They left their nets and followed him. They pulled the trigger. They just followed. And they trusted and went. They took a chance. They took a chance. Sometimes you have to take a chance in life. And if you ever find yourself that you're committed to living outside of the system, it'll be because you took a chance. You made a decision. In verse 21, going on from there, he saw two other brothers, so we're not done. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, they were in a boat, and their father Zebedee, they're working with dad. That's pretty cool. I know projects I'd done with my son. You know, we're doing one out in Landers in the desert right now, and, you know, he just tore this house up too much, and I'm trying to get it completed with him, and I'm not built for that. I'm like a cleanup guy, you know, but I'm also impressed with what he's done. But it's really cool to be with your son in that setting. I can see this. I can feel it. They're working with their dad, preparing their nets, getting ready for the next day. They're mending their nets, fixing the holes so they have a better catch, right? And Jesus called them. Look at verse 22. And immediately, at once, without hesitation, something about Jesus marked them. And let me ask you, has this happened to you? Not just believing in him, but transferring your life to where I want to fall in love with my friend, Savior, brother, Lord. They were marked. I don't know what it was. The Bible says he wasn't that handsome. He wasn't that tall. He didn't stand out. He had eyes of sorrow for his brethren that wouldn't believe. And immediately they left their boat. Their boat was their means of income. That's it. And the next part is saying, and their father. See ya. Bye, Dad. Boom. And the feeling is this happened a moment of time. They left Dad, two young adults, saying, bye, Pop. You take the business. It's yours. Find a friend. And they followed him. They walked away with Jesus. So how do we live outside in this life, number two? Jesus tells us to worship God directly. If you want to live outside the system, you got to learn to love your God and worship him in your life by the way you live, by the actions you make, by the love that goes out of you. Folks, we don't need anyone else. Jesus is yours. You don't need me. Now, we can be together to try to reach the world that we live in. We can be encouraged together, but you don't need me. You don't. You may even really like me. I saw a gal over here walk out the door, and I came up behind her. I tapped her on the shoulder kind of because of my cab story. I wanted to see if she'd freak out. Didn't. She goes, oh, pastors tapped me on the shoulder. I said, who are you people? You've been here for the last month. I don't even know you. It's a family. And their family comes with them. And I said, I want to meet you. You know, when you come back four or five times and you sit in the same seats, I take notice. Not roll, but I take notice. And it's such a privilege to have people come and stay. Jesus is yours. We don't need to make a pilgrimage to be close. You don't have to go to Israel. If we can go one day and it fits the schedule and the budget, that's great. I've been there. It's cool. But you don't have to go. You just enjoy it. It'll be wonderful. We have no hoops we need to jump through. Jesus is ours. He will never leave you and me. Luke 4:8, Jesus answered while being tested in the wilderness by the devil. It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. God, Jesus is it for us. And he's available. This is who we are. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. He says, but you are a chosen people. You're special and you're set apart because the love of God has come down to you. And you said yes, the irresistible love of God. He says, a royal priesthood. Literally, you and I are priests for God. Now, that doesn't mean you should walk around with a collar and be called father or sister, but you are a royal priesthood right here, right now. And I don't know if people see themselves as that. It's how God sees you. A holy nation, God's special possession. What is a special possession? I know we love every one of our kids, and they're grown adults now, but they weren't always that way. We have pictures to prove it, and they don't want to see them anymore. We do. They're not that wowed by him. But the whole point here is we belong to him. And that ought to have a wow factor to you. You belong to him, and you're a special possession. To know this can certainly change your life if you believe it. He goes on, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. We've been called. Those of us that know Jesus, somehow his irresistible grace came down and we grabbed it. Yes, I want it. Some people walk away. You didn't. You didn't. We get to tell others how God changed our life. We're doing it right here, right now, together. When we ask the question, who we are to God, what is the truth about us? Let 1 Peter 2:9 sink into your life deeply. Take over your view of you. Where do you get your view of you? Let God be the mirror. What he says about you. Let that dominate. Let that touch you. Embrace the truth about you. You're done seeking acceptance because God's accepted you. Now, we all want it, but if you choose not to like me, I'm not going to lose some sleep over that. You idiot? No. You got to be strong. You got to be confident or you get walked over. Don't be that way. Verse 10 goes on, once you were not a people, we didn't belong to God's family. I remember that time in my life. But now you are the people of God. We belong to him. We are part of the family forever. We're accepted. Once you had not received mercy, you were outside of God's love and care, which brings eternal safety. But now you have received mercy, and everything changed. This is what Jesus has brought to us, the ability to worship God, not man, not man's rules, not this world, not things in the world, but to worship God and him alone and live and function in the world that we must function in, but not dominate us. Number three, how do we live outside? You guys wanted to move to that next one. I felt it. You wanted to flip that page. Number three, we can follow Jesus above everything. And this is big. I'm not saying this is going to happen in everybody's life. It's all a choice. We live in a world that just sucks us into its vortex over and over again. But we can honestly put him first. We can see him for who he is. We can grow in our understanding of him. We can continue to fall more in love with him as time goes on if we choose. The apostles are persecuted and jailed in the book of Acts in chapter 5 here. The jail was locked and the guys were gone. And nobody really understands it. It's a mind blower. They're standing in the temple courts unafraid after being imprisoned and they're out. They are invited into a meeting to speak before the full assembly of elders of Israel, the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, all the big guys are there. And this is what Peter said. So let's call this the government of the day, okay? And the religious institution of the day. In Acts 5:28, the high priest starts out. He says, we gave you strict orders. We were clear not to teach in this name, speaking of Jesus, he said. Yet you have filled Jerusalem. You've filled it. I love this. With your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood, of killing Jesus. You know, the Romans killed him. They got their own stories. Everybody does. Now Peter, verse 29, Peter said, and the other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than human beings. Well, those classic forever statements that we ought to have tattooed in our brain and in our heart. God first, not the government, not this world, not a religious system. Verse 30, the God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead. The God that you say you love, men. Oh, I wish I was there. Although if I was there, I wouldn't be here now. Did you just do the math? Whom you killed by hanging on a cross. Ouch. You killed him. This can be us. Us with Jesus and courage in the world we live in. Number three, what living outside the system looks like. What does it look like? Give me some reality, Jim. Just a couple things. There could have been a list as long as my arm or longer. Number one, we live free and not controlled by others. Freedom is a fascinating word that touches a lot of things. Freedom. Freedom to be you. Freedom on an emotional level. There's got to be safety attached if you're going to be free to be you. Otherwise, you're concerned, terrified, too much suspense, what ifs. There's a great advantage in understanding the world is not your final home. And even looking forward to what God has promised. It's a step of faith in life. There's a great advantage to knowing that you don't want the world to own you, even though every once in a while it slips in. You know, shopping at Nordstrom's can be cool. I want to look good. And maybe you don't go to Nordstrom's. Maybe you're a Marshall's person, and then you just buy more because it's cheaper. Sorry, I'm not picking on you ladies. I'll go after the guys. No. The 50-year-old with the red Corvette? Anybody? Anybody? I looked at one the other day. It wasn't red. I can't remember. Oh, it was blue. I said, Sandy, you need to get me one of those. She goes, if I was going to get you one, it'd be white. I go, that'd be okay. She goes, but if I got you that, how long would it be before your back started acting up? I said, you're right. You're right. You're right. We'll rent one for a day if we really need it. Colossians 2:16, therefore do not let anyone judge you. Grow up, Jesus follower. Don't let them judge you. Live your life. Refuse to be controlled by others. You say, Jim, it's not that easy. I know. But get outside the system. Get to where Jesus is. Not with arrogance or pride, but with truth. By what you eat or drink, or with regard to religious festival, a new moon, celebration, or a Sabbath day, refuse to be manipulated by others is part of what Paul is saying. Don't go along with the herd. You don't have to. You can be defined about Jesus. You can say, look, I am a lover of Jesus, and I will not do that. You don't have to tell everybody, just don't do it if you feel it's inappropriate. Someone who loves Jesus all out is a different dude, a different gal. Just are. They are quietly confident. Doesn't mean, don't have to be the smartest guy in the room. I'm never the smartest guy in the room unless I'm alone. But I'm confident. Why? I know Jesus. I got his promises here. They're parked. They're not leaving. They own me. Somebody might say, well, what if you're wrong? Well, I'm wrong. Okay, we'll find out when I knock on death's door. But I got news for you. I'm going to have a really nice guitar in heaven, and I'm going to sing a lot to all of you. You're going to have to sit there and listen over and over and over again. Honestly, you know, I don't want you to take this wrong, but I really don't care what you think. I don't mean that offensively, but I don't care. I'm defined. I know my Jesus. He's it for me. You're never changing that. You can offer me anything. Go away. Now, I'm a nice guy in the midst of that, but I really don't care. All the junk going on in our society, it's madness. And we all know it. People filled with God's wisdom see it and know it. I can't change it. It's the world. The world is corrupted and getting more corrupt. Just peek at the book of Revelation to see what's coming. And all ends well, fortunately. Number two, let's keep moving. We live with the ability to love and forgive NMW, no matter what. And the NMW is key here, not just the love and forgive. Forgiveness is a four-letter word. Yes, it is. Love. To be a great lover of others and to be an extraordinary forgiver is to live like Jesus. And part of that is being willing to live outside the system. Because the system wants justice. The system wants to right every wrong. You're not going to do it. What you can do is live a life that is right as you follow and love Jesus. And let the chips fall where they may. And I don't have to fix everybody. Because you can. I'm wondering if I'm going to say something today that's going to just torque you. Maybe I already have. Only those who live outside the system get it. Otherwise, the world gets and keeps our attention. Ephesians 4:32, we all know it, says, be kind. Have a generous nature about you. The opposite of harsh and unpleasant. Showing courtesy and caring all day long. Be kind and compassionate. Compassionate means you have a feeling of sympathy. When somebody hurts, you hurt, right? You connect. You deeply care the sufferings of others. To one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ forgave you. Forgiveness is releasing my right to demand justice. Choosing not to forgive is not good for us. When I turn someone or something over to God and let him have it via Romans chapter 12, no longer is it my problem. I'm forgiven. You absorb it and you let it go. You move on with your life. To be well, you must learn to forgive. Otherwise, you're not well on the inside. And number three, I think we'll end with this, and we'll just leave the benefits for another day. What living outside the system looks like. Number three, we live with a peculiar instinct to do good. And this is one of those fascinating ones to me. It's interesting why we are who we are. What motivations we have. This is sort of big time outside the system thinking. When the Holy Spirit invades our life at the moment we believe, things happen. Changes take place that are remarkable that you don't even know about, especially at that point, and we continue to learn as we learn Scripture. But something new hits our life. Certainly salvation, eternal life, and you don't really know that at that moment. Well, I didn't. But God has blessed mankind with a conscience. Now, that conscience can be seared, most definitely. The animal kingdom doesn't seem to have that. The Serengeti, the lions and tigers and crocodiles and hippos, it's lunch. No conscience. I kind of want to go on one of those safaris. I don't know why, because I don't want to see things just get eaten. I see it enough on my phone. But I think I have to do it one day. My wife says, no, we ain't doing it. There's bugs out there. So along with our natural human conscience, which everybody possesses, God's provided a way to supercharge it. That's what he's done. When you believe in him, you're marked with the Holy Spirit, Ephesians tells us, and a lot changes. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit, the outgrowth of it, what it brings about in our life, the impact and leadership inside of our lives is living inside of us, is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The Holy Spirit brings that to us. It's like this weird friend that changes us. It's kind of holding our hand on, and it's really on the inside of us. And I believe we can grieve the Spirit, we can push it out, and we can say no. We can straight arm it, since football's coming back. But against such things, there is no law. No law is needed if people would live according to the Spirit. We don't need police officers. But that's not the case. We need more, a lot more. Without God, self-control would be non-existent. We become countercultural is the whole point to this whole day. And we're not even trying to, but that ought to be what happens naturally. Not to live distant from the world that needs the message. We love them. There's kindness that's given. There's showing up that happens. But we most definitely move against the flow. I'm not a debate guy. If you want to talk about all the junk that's going on in the world, you know, I'll talk to you individually if you need me to, but I'm not going to talk about it here. I don't want to chase the young people out of this room. I want to love them. That's why I played Dynamite by BTS. Never heard the song before in my life. And don't care to hear it again. But I'm telling you, you are odd, people. We are odd as Jesus followers, and accept it. Don't make yourself odder. We do live in the South Bay, and we got to have a little cool happening. But we're a little bit peculiar. Oswald Chambers says, a great deal of our ineffectiveness can be attributed to ignoring the Holy Spirit. And it's true. It's true. So I encourage you, get outside the system. Understand it. Figure it out. Chase it down and watch what happens. Let's pray as we close. Lord, thank you. Thank you that we can be together. Thank you that we can talk of you freely in this room today. And I just pray as we try to understand, to incorporate truth into our life, that you'd bless us certainly. You'd grow our confidence. You'd grow our capacity to love you and to honor you privately in our life as well as publicly. It's so exciting to just be able to hear about you in a place. And I pray for my brothers and sisters, my friends, that you just continue to bless us as we seek after you. Jesus, we love you, we love you, we love you. We pray in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Have a wonderful day, my friends. Shoes on, get up in the mood, cup of milk, let's rock and roll.